There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. A couple hours of live local talk coming your way. Well, we've been doing that since 6 this morning. And a quick reminder as we get into this, too, go download the FM Talk 106.5 app. Of course, you can stream us anywhere with that app, but also you can get show schedules on there. 55 hours a week of podcasts, live local shows that come from our studios right here at Airport and 65, plus latest traffic maps, weather updates, and the talkback feature lets you leave us a message for us to play back here on the air. Check it out. Just look for FM TALK 1065 at the App Store for Apple users or at Google Play for Android users. Get that downloaded today. You're going to like it. All right. And you're going to like today's show. A lot on the way as we continue our Veterans Month series. And in hour number two, Major General Janet Cobb, director of the USS Alabama and Battleship Memorial Park, joins us to talk about her service to our nation as we feature the interviews with veterans all month long. And we'll talk later on in the show all the events we have coming up on Veterans Day on Thursday. So that's on the way. Plus, Skip Poe is going to join us as he has joined us before to talk about safety in work zones on roads. We had once again here in our area had a tragic situation there with somebody hitting people working on the roadside. Same thing happened in Shelby County also a couple weeks ago. So we'll talk about that coming up in hour number two of the show. And it is the second Tuesday of the month. That means it's your chance to ask the sheriff. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us this hour. Sheriff, good to see you.
Glad to be here, Sean.
A lot to do on today's show. I've got to think about this, too, as it is Veterans Month and Veterans Week and Veterans Day coming up. There's got to be a lot of folks that work with you in law enforcement that are vets themselves.
Absolutely. We have an extraordinarily number out of proportion, I guess you would say, that are veterans. And we never miss an opportunity to hire a veteran, especially in the last 15, 20 years with the wars we've been involved in. We've hired so many of the veterans of those wars.
Yeah, you get that. You know, we always talk about training and what it takes to train a new deputy or something like that, but they're probably advanced in their learning by the time they come from the military to you.
Oh, very advanced, very disciplined, very regimented. Understand that, you know, we're sort of a quasi-military organization with chain of command and different things like that.
They get that part.
They get that part.
Yeah.
And command a lot of respect.
Well, thank you to all the deputies that are veterans as well.
Absolutely.
And send it our way. So many things to do today with our conversation. I want to let people know you're part of this. You can get your questions answered. You can ask them through the phone or the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106, and we'll get those lined up. But I'm going to jump in line first.
Sure. Okay.
And say, what in the Sam heck is going on? I know that, you know, your responsibility is a county, although your responsibility underlies municipal as well inside the city limits. You know, it's not where y'all are on duty for it, but y'all are the sheriffs for the entire county.
Sure.
Right. So what happens inside Mobile is still of great concern.
Oh, it is. Because, I mean, always, it so goes Mobile, goes the area.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure you're talking
it's out of control,
obviously,
Sheriff.
And I won't say
is
it's
it?
Out of
okay.
control. I wouldn't say it's out of control.
Okay, well, I'm just
there
reacting like a citizen here.
There certainly is an uptick of shootings and gun violence, without a doubt. There's murders and shootings and occurring in broad daylight.
Yep.
Multiple gunshots. It's not a situation where there's like two or three shots.
Emptying magazines at each other.
And, you know, there may be two or three people shooting, you know.
That's why I'm reacting like this. I'm not, and obviously, I'm as strong a supporter of law enforcement as there is.
Mm-hmm.
But also a citizen who, and you said the broad daylight thing, and you and I talked about that before we went on the air. I feel silly saying that. And I said that to the mayor last week, but I keep saying it. It moves me even differently that this is going on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is. And the one thing, though, that's underlined all over it, it's usually retaliation and ripoffs and retaliation. Would it, you know, I don't know if this has been on the mainstream of news or not, but I was informed that the subject that got shot is the second time he's been shot in 3 months. Now, what reason you think he's somebody's trying to kill him?
Yeah.
You know, that bad to where they'd empty numerous gunshots into it.
Now, you've told me this before. I've talked to Public Safety Director Batiste about it as well. That, and I don't know in this case specifically, but you'll come up to somebody like that who's been shot and say, "Who shot you?" Oh, I don't know.
Oh, that's right. They won't. We've had many cases like that.
I don't know.
In fact, you can gather the bullet casings and find out. You know, oftentimes, the person shot was one of the shooters. You know.
Yeah. Nobody's going to tell you anything.
That's right. It's all confined. It's retaliation. They don't want to cooperate with police. They're like, okay, we'll get even. And when you look at some of these crime families, it's generational. That there'll be 3-4 victims in one family, or add 2 or 3 people in that family that have been sent off for murder or shootings and stuff. And it's thankfully it's confined to. This is pretty damn mean to say, but it's thugs killing thugs.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but unfortunately, stray bullets are out there, and so people say bullet don't have your name on it.
That's right. Well, and this is a thing we've talked about: when bad guy kills bad guy, it accounts for the statistics, but mm-hmm. it doesn't. I don't think it brings the fear.
No, it doesn't.
That bad guy shoots good person, or good person gets caught in crossfire. Look at these two from last week. So we have this one at I-65 in Dolphin. Then we have the bowling alley story, mm-hmm. which I want to get back into as well, because there's somebody who was out on bond.
Yes.
For shooting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who then goes and shoots somebody. Is it reasonable for a Mobile County, anybody, to think they should be okay to be at a bowling alley on a Tuesday night? I mean, is that beyond the scope of what should be expected?
I mean, it's unheard of to expect violence like that.
I mean, I'd take my kids to do that, Sheriff.
Sure. Growing up, we used to take our kids and drop them off for midnight bowling.
Yes.
Leave them there for the entire night.
Yes.
And come back and pick them up at daylight, you know?
I mean, I think a reasonable person should feel like that's not a dangerous place to be.
Right, right.
But they're shooting in a bowling alley.
Our community has got to just collectively, the whole criminal justice system, and I mean, it's been in peril for several years, and you know, our court system is backed up for a couple of years, our jail is backed up. You know, we just put out statistics or something. I think there's 130 murderers in jail right now, and there's also 120 something that are out on bond, this one being one of them.
Walking around, which by the way, the bond was revoked when Christian Edwards, I'll say it one time, mm-hmm. the name of the shooter, I don't usually like to celebrate them at all, when that that person went back in front of the judge, they were denied bond.
Right. Clearly, that was the reason
point,
to deny bond.
At this point,
to revoke bond. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, revoke bond. That's right.
Of course, it brings us to the Anaya's Law that, you know, will be coming up later this year.
Yeah, but we got
to
wait for it.
We've got to vote for it and get it passed, but the citizens need to get behind that, remember it, to where a judge then has the authority to not release somebody on bond when they had good evidence presented to them that this person is liable to violate again or subject to commit more offenses while out on bond.
And this gives, for people who we have talked about a good bit, but to explain that, Anaya's Law, when ratified, which I think it'll be voted on, I think we have no issue. It's frustrating we have to wait. I know the process is the process.
Yeah.
But when that's there, it doesn't mean the judge has to. But right now, the judge, unless it's capital murder?
Unless it's capital murder, the judge has to set a bond.
Right.
And of course, the law
even if that
a
judge knows
appropriate bond, of course, that's a whole nother discussion. What's reasonable and appropriate in Mobile County may be, you know, or wouldn't be acceptable in Baldwin or some of your rural counties.
We
mentioned this last month.
Mm-hmm.
Your rural counties will have humongous bonds set on people that commit violence in their in their counties.
So that's it's a way of keeping somebody in. You're not
that's
denying
correct.
Them bond, but in a proxy way, you are.
That's right. I mean, we see it. I mean, we do have it in Mobile County. We'll have judges set a bond they don't expect the person to be able to make. But occasionally that person will make a bond, just
mm-hmm.
like the one in Anaya's Law made a bond in Montgomery for a couple hundred thousand and, boom, went out and killed somebody. So
kidnapped and killed Anaya Blanchard. As we look at our situation right now, there's chronic and acute. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Chronically, I want to address that long term. In the short term, in all your decades in law enforcement, is there anything we can do differently?
Yeah, you've got to create some really aggressive policing, but you've got to stand behind the police. And unfortunately, in our community, in the city of Mobile, I'll call them out, some of the council persons in recent years have not been supportive of the police, and they're quick to accuse the police of heavy-handedness and stuff like that. And, you know, so the police have a reason to kind of back away. You know, when you jump out on a street corner where you've got five, six, seven people that you believe are dealing drugs, they don't want to get caught. And mm-hmm. There's liable to be some tussling, and there's liable to be some, you know, arrest and physical used in that.
But, right.
If you're going to get called out, why did you do this? Or what, you know, the police are going to say, hey, there's an old adage, and I won't say I've done this, but I've heard it. You know, big cases have big problems, little cases have little problems, no cases have no problems. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, mm-hmm. shade tree policing if you're going to attack the police. So we need a strong government to stand behind our police and say we're not going to tolerate these violent offenders. And you know, I think there's some postings or something on Facebook going on right now where somebody might have been killed by the SWAT team or something in Mobile. That they went out, somebody was, you know, threatening witnesses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was a shootout, and a person got shot, and people are protesting that. Well, good Lord. I mean, you've got to
protect
your
witnesses.
They shot
at the SWAT team. Yeah.
You know, you got to stand behind them. I mean, come out strong and stand behind them.
Right. So, because this is something that affects the entire county, and inside that, all seven districts of the city.
That's correct.
I mean, this is something that, and so while we wait on Anaya's Law, we've got this situation. You mentioned it. Mayor mentioned it. 120 some odd people that have not been convicted,
mm-hmm.
but they got a murder charge on them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are out of jail.
Right. And I don't think we can say that enough. And they're committing crimes to be able to raise money to continue paying their attorney and stuff and to pay the bond.
That's a real thing, isn't it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Not only are they paying their attorneys, they're paying their bondsmen. You know, they you know, get a bond on pay-as-you-go kind
right.
of speak. You know,
and so they go commit crimes to pay that bond.
That's right. And stuff like that. But I'll give you an example. Many years ago when I was police chief, you know, we had a lot of crime at certain street corners. And we said, we've got to do something about it. So we aggressively put, you know, some people call them the jump out boys mm-hmm. and things, and they pull up and arrest these people.
Jag team
yeah. was the first original. Then we had some others that followed it, and we put good physically fit officers on that team, and we went after those street corners, and there was one down at Congress and Cuba. I said, if we can just keep the thugs from dealing drugs there, we'll save six, seven murders a year. And sure enough, we put an end to it. Murder went down. Then we attacked these nightclubs that were having all these shootings in the mm-hmm. parking lots. We closed three or four nightclubs down. Guess what? We had 7 to 10 fewer murders that year from nightclubs.
But
you've got to be aggressive, and you've got to support the police.
That's the second part of it.
Our elected officials have to stand up and support them and not just look the other way like, well, that's a policing problem. That's not us.
Well, I think this is one of those times when the pendulum swings back that way. I mean, I've seen this over time, obviously not through your eyes in law enforcement, just as a citizen. You'll increase policing, mm-hmm. and then you'll diminish those crimes, be it violent crime or property crime or whatever, right. and then everything seems like it's pretty good. So then right. we go, then we don't need so much policing here.
That's correct.
And then it goes back
the other way. And sometimes, and I'll admit, sometimes the police get a little too heavy-handed, and that's where your leadership and your policing has to have a good, strong hand on what's going on, understand it, and keep that, you know, within check.
Would it mean more to you, as somebody who has had, you know, the top position in municipal and county law enforcement, if you had somebody who was at a council level or a county commission level that had supported you
mm-hmm.
and things you had done in law enforcement, that then came to you and said, this one thing here, Sheriff, this, I want to talk to you about this. I felt this was a little much. I mean, does it mean if they stand with you, it seems like if they've stood with you, then they'd have your ear more when they said this one thing, I want to look
sure,
at this.
If they come to you and ask you, but if you read about it or see it on the evening news, you know, they're not
communicating.
That. No, that's grandstanding. You
right.
know, you know, that's and we've seen a lot of that over the last
sure.
several years in the city of Mobile.
But it would be in this situation where you had somebody that says, I am standing with law enforcement, I'm doing that, mm-hmm. and then they see that thing. Some of the constituent or themselves see something, then they come to go, you know, I've supported you through all this, but I want to look at this one
sure.
situation and, here. This to me strikes me as not being the best.
There were many times where I would be able to provide the public safety director, I was police chief, that would provide then Mayor Dow, and they would provide information to some of the council members that had inquiry. But, you know,
but you got to know they have your back in the first place.
That's exactly right. That's what you need. And
I want to talk about this when we come back and talk about the number of people that are in the jail. We talked about the people who are out, but the number of people in the jail, I think you told me last month, it was the most violent group of people you've ever had in the jail. Is that?
It was. Finally, we're getting some relief. The Department of Corrections has been taking some chain gangs the last 2 or 3 weeks. So we had a chain go out early this week, and I think today we were set to have 12 more go out.
Talk about that when we come back. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:25, FM Talk 106.5, and your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. A lot of texts coming in here. You said something got my attention, got Grant's as well. He said, yes, chain gangs. Use the nonviolent offenders and make them pick up trash, clean ditches, clean out storm drains that cause flooding in streets. And he says, well, if you don't want to be there, then don't commit the crime. And it's good for the youth to see it as a deterrent. But you were, I think, talking about chain gangs. Just isn't that how ADOC takes them out?
Yeah, we put them all in one long chain and head them up on the bus and take them up to the prison.
Because if people have not been listening to us talk about it or reading it themselves, so there's, and those two words get interchangeable, but jail is different than prison.
That's right.
What is the there's a purpose for jail and there's a purpose for prison, but you've had prisoners in jail.
Yeah, we've had prisoners in jail because for a year and a half, the Department of Corrections refused to accept any of their state prisoners that were convicted in trial, sentenced to the prison, and just refused to accept them. So they were serving their state prison sentences in our jail, and then we kept adding to it.
But that's not how it's supposed to work. They're supposed to go to jail, and then once they're convicted, they go to prison.
They go to prison. And even that is a delayed thing. They have like 30 days to pick them up after they get the transmit completed from the circuit court that sentences them.
So we've got this situation where we have people out on bond walking around.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I think, the backlog of, at one point, if I'm incorrect now, then somebody correct me, but 10,000 cases in a backlog for Mobile County.
I think that's what the district attorney said. Yes.
Okay. And then we have the jail. That, how full are you?
We're just shy of 1,500 today. We've been over 1,500 this past week. Now, because of the DLC taking two different chain gangs this week, it reduced it below 1,500.
So at all points, the system is stressed.
Yeah. I mean, our jail is stressed. We're shorthanded. The court system was stymied for a year and a half. The grand jury was stymied for a year and a half. So everything came almost to a halt as far as new cases progressing through it. They would go to district court, be bound over or something, but then the grand jury wasn't meeting, so no one's getting indicted. So if you're not indicted, you can't go to the next higher level in the circuit court.
Yeah, I know now that moving to, I think, 32 cases a year from 8, or 32 weeks from 8.
Moved up to 32.
Which is a vast improvement.
Committed to help us more than what they've been able to do in the past, but we're, you know, we still think we've had a situation where we got to ask them to do even more. That's just the way the system is.
Because there's new, it's not just working off of the backlog, because there's constantly new cases coming in.
That's right. So we've got to do more than we used to do at the best peak times that we used to have. We've got to do more than that.
Correct.
If we're ever going to get back to those days we were at.
Right.
Or the judges need to work overtime, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's okay. And like, if you come back,
certainly willing.
Right. If you come back to work for some, okay, you come back to work, you have, there was a shutdown at whatever widget factory.
Yeah.
Not saying justice is a widget factory, but you come back and you got a backlog, but you still got orders coming in. You work long shifts. You work overtime. You work on Saturdays.
That's right. Isn't that what started this supply chain situation in the country? Everybody overseas shut down. And of course, I'm hearing you, Mike, board on your shows, people can't get outboard motors from Japan, and people had brand new boats with no motors.
Yes, there's. Listen, I just went to try to find another table for our Veterans Day program on Thursday, and you know the fold out leg tables.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, like he used for a party, whatever.
Playing cards and stuff.
Yeah, no dice, none there. They had the chairs and they had the little picnic table version, but not the fold out. All right, text coming in here as well. Where's the okay? So what can you do at a county level to change this? I guess you petition DOC. I mean,
we've had many conversations with the DOC and the Deputy Commissioner of Corrections and County commission associations work for us at the state level, trying to speed things up, and it's just an all-out effort into every level. But you know, as far as crime in the county, we attack that and try to prevent it, and when it happens, we get right on it. You know, these catalytic converters, somebody, we posted it on Thug the other day, and somebody turned them in last night, so we've got this latest suspect identified.
Well, let's talk about that when we get back. We're coming right back. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Yeah, show tomorrow, so here we go. So tomorrow, we're aboard the USS Alabama. We'll be doing the show, and then from noon to 2, and then, some of our Marines here at FM Talk 106.5, Chuck, Cal, and Tom are going to take over at 1, Scuttlebutt Radio Network, show by veterans for veterans. On Veterans Day week, they'll be going on from 1 to 2, so that'll be tomorrow. And then on Thursday, Mobile Mornings, Dan and Dalton doing the show like we've done for, almost 8-9 years now, except for last year. It's like weird, you have to say that all the time now, except for last year. But doing the morning show live from the Civic Center as the veterans get there and get ready for the parade. We got food, healthy food and healthy food and tasty food. So we have the fruits and vegetables and great stuff from our friends at Lake Reed Market. We also have pastries and goodies like that from Greer's and Krispy Kreme and coffee and all that for the veterans. So maybe come out and shake a hand and say thank you as they're assembled up on Thursday and doing interviews with Dan and Dalton. And then Midday Mobile, this show, will be at Fort Whiting for the presentation of the Veteran of the Year and the Patriot of the Year. So we will be at the start of the parade and at the finish of the parade with FM Talk 106.5 on Thursday. And remember, all month long, we continue with our veterans interviews, and another one of those coming up at the beginning of next hour. Major General Janet Cobb, USS Alabama, Battleship Memorial Park, and a friend of mine, I think she will say that, joins me to talk about her service to our nation. That's coming up at 1 o'clock today. And we continue with our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. And by the way, I got this Hooya Jaguars. We did them back in Mobile from a former Jaguar 1.
There
listening.
You go.
So,
okay.
Those guys were fit, right?
They were fast.
Fit, you wouldn't have looked at Sullivan and said, Sullivan, you're on the Jaguar thing now.
Fast, fit, and go-getters.
Well, I mean, there has to be, and I've said this to you off the air, so you know this isn't for show. I have this strong civil libertarian bent that leads, and then I respect and we need law enforcement. This balance here, people can't see me in the studio, but I'm doing the seesaw thing.
Sure.
But right now, I feel like the seesaw is in a bad place for our community, and it's not level. It's not level, and we got to do something. If we sit and play the civil liberty game and shade tree policing, not saying that we're doing it in Mobile, but something's got to change here, Sheriff.
Well, the loudmouths have been attacking the police, but they're this small percentage. I mean, we still enjoy great support in the South, and certainly in South Alabama.
Yeah, you said
from police, but. But you'll hear from the 10%, 15% that are police haters, but you really don't hear that much from the others. And again, that's what I'm saying. If you want to do something about it, your elected officials, we got to stand up, support the police. You know, the police do a good job of weeding people out that are bad. We do that. Been doing it my whole career as an executive.
Right.
Weeding the bad ones out. But when you have so much turnover, guess what? Some more bad ones get in there. It takes you a while to weed them out.
But you said, I mean, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, though, because when you have this attitude about police and police leave or law enforcement don't stay with it, you then have to bring new people in. They cause a problem. Then there's more turnover versus the institutional wisdom of keeping people.
You lose institutional knowledge. And when you have 10% of your workforce turning over every year, and it's been that way for years and years at the police department, all the 10 years I was chief, we had about 10%. So I was training 50 to 65 officers a year.
And you kept how many?
Well, I'd lose that many a year, and I'd have to train that many again. So for you,
it was that. Wait! I missed that. It was big a turnover.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was running 10%, 50 to 60 officers a year we would lose, and so you hire another 50 officers.
I didn't realize it was that much.
Three of them may not be cut out for it, and you don't realize that till they start doing the job, and then you've got to fire them for cause, you know, and it just takes a while. So when you have that much turnover, you're not retaining those good people. And you're replacing them, hopefully, with other good people. But, again, you get some bad ones. It only takes one or two bad apples to give you to really smear your agency, you know. So you've just got to. So, again, the retention and keeping that institutional knowledge is what's going to solve this over the long haul. But it's an investment in time. You can't solve it overnight.
This is back to the chain gang. You started something when you meant you meant the chain gang leading the people into the vehicles to take them to the prisons. Yeah. But this is, I think, wasn't it Limestone County in Alabama the last that was running those chain gangs? Remember,
I was
in radio in Birmingham at that time. I think when they were doing that. But yeah, the chain gangs like that are not.
They don't exist as far as working chain gangs. We just put them in a chain, long chain, to take them to court or take them to the prison. You know, to just hook them all together, and so it's kind of hard for 20 of them to break loose at one time. It's kind of comical. They start falling all over.
Tony says here, I didn't catch the first part of your conversation with the sheriff. In case it comes up, I'm on his side for carry permits. I want gun carriers to have a background check. Without a background check, the Ladd Stadium shooters might have been legal.
That's correct. I appreciate him bringing that up. That's a very important issue, and it's going to come up. I'm told it's coming up early in the legislative. I'm opposed to people being able to carry guns without a background check. There are some estimates
concealed.
Concealed.
Right.
There are estimates that we've had as many as 10,000 firearms stolen in the last several years in Mobile. Those guns are floating around in the hands of people. And if you do a background check, we would deny permits for maybe 700 people last year and approve 62,000 to carry. But that guy that did the shooting at Ladd, he could have been carrying that gun legally outside in the parking lot and legally carried it in there because it was not a convicted felon. Although he had been arrested one time before for no pistol permit, and guess what? He was also charged with theft, receiving stolen property because the gun he had was stolen. Now, if he had a legal right to possess the gun, the police wouldn't have had a legal right to run a check on that gun.
Okay.
It's a tool for law enforcement, and we had a 30% increase in murders in this country last year. If all of a sudden thousands of people are able to start carrying guns concealed on the properties and places of others, it's going to be bad. But for some reason, some of our Republican legislators want to give everybody the ability to carry a concealed weapon without a gun permit. They say it's a constitutional right.
Right.
Well, the constitutional rights have limitations. Just like you can't go in a movie theater and scream fire,
right,
and your religious rights, you can't have human sacrifices. Well, states have a right to restrict the who is able to carry. And there's a process there. They go in for a background check. The sheriff approves or denies. If the sheriff denies, they have a right of appeal and all such as that. Now, there is a Supreme Court case just heard last week out of New York, and I think the Supreme Court's going to probably put out some good guidelines about concealed carry permit. But New York clearly is too restrictive, and I think they're going to lose. It's almost impossible to get a concealed carry in New York City, and that's what they're challenging. And I support them on that. But look, if we approve 62,000 people, and then only deny 700, many of those 700 are the ones that won't open carry free carry without a permit because they know otherwise they would not be issued a permit.
Okay, so let me do this here because I'm going to say this because I know a lot of people will say this. Sheriff, you're making the people that obey these laws are the law-abiding citizens. The Sean Sullivans of the world, right, that'll get a concealed carry permit,
mm-hmm,
right? The people we're talking about are already showing that they have no regard for the law, so what does it matter one way or another? Aren't you just restricting the people that are law-abiding citizens versus those who are going to be criminals are going to do it anyway?
No, we're restricting many of those people that would violate the law or not violating the law because they don't want to be caught with a firearm in their car or concealed about that person without a permit because they know they'll get arrested, and then that arrest may lead to other charges for other crimes that they've committed. So, yeah, there are some going to violate it. But many don't, and just as if you're in a bar, a sports bar, or a restaurant,
mm-hmm,
or you're in a casino, I'm waiting to hear from the casinos on some of this. If this law passes,
wow, yeah,
you know, we just had a guy kill somebody in the Golden Nugget out of Mobile in Biloxi a couple months ago. Imagine if that happens up here in Atmore, somewhere like that. What's the impact on a casino if you have a shootout in a casino? And I'm telling you,
I mean, they're shooting out in bowling alleys.
One of the big things that drug dealers do with their proceeds, they have a big interest in gambling. Not that people that go to casinos,
they gamble it or they.
Yeah, a lot of you drug dealers love to gamble, and
they probably showed that they're doing that for a living.
That's right.
But it's and I understand both sides. I watch this, and I'm somebody that is, a concealed carry permit holder, have been for have been since y'all ran me out there because I look too young. But I've had one for a long time. But at the same time, I hear the argument where people just say, yeah, but that's just for law-abiding citizens. Yeah, that's just for, you know.
Well, it's for law-abiding citizens and for those law-abiding citizens that know other law-abiding citizens have met the same standard. And all the years I've been coming on the show with you, you've never one time complained to me about paying $20 a year.
I have not, which is not a number that you set.
Right. It's not a number that I set. It was set 25, 35 years ago.
All right. Let's do this. We'll go to the news and come right back. More with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. It's your chance to ask the sheriff.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. Mr. Valentine asked this question. I went ahead and jumped and answered it, but I'll let you answer it. He said, so can I open carry without a permit?
Yes, but you can't carry that gun in a car.
Right.
So wherever you go, you got to walk.
Nobody's run with my idea yet. The magnetic holster that would go on the outside of the car?
Outside of the car,
I'm just thinking. Can college police write tickets and make arrests off campuses?
Yeah, they're state-certified police officers, but the ticket they write would of course, have to go to either the city or the district court in that area.
These thugs and these shootings here lately are done mostly by stolen handguns with people with prior criminal records, right? Question mark here. I just want to know the facts, not being critical, just curious.
Yeah, I would think most of those weapons are stolen. The problem being some of the weapons, until a several-month investigation, we don't know if they're stolen because many people don't record their serial numbers and when they report it to us stolen. But we also know there's a huge number of people that have had their gun stolen that never reported it to us because they didn't want to say, Mr. Officer, I hate to tell you this, but I left my car unlocked last night and they stole my pistol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd rather just say, well, chalk that up for being, you know, careless. Especially if they don't have the serial number, they have no chance of us necessarily recovering, although sometimes we do because we'll catch people that break into other cars or steal stuff, and then we catch them. Then sometimes they'll confess and say, I broke into that car, this car, this car, this car.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things because, you know, people were saying, because I think the flip side of this, well, we're talking about the stolen guns that people had called in or texted in the past and said, well, those people who had their guns stolen should be responsible for it. And I said, no way. You kind of said no way as well. I mean, yeah. If you lock your vehicle.
Especially if you lock it, but still at the end of the day, remember, we ought to have the right to be safe and secure in our vehicles and on our property, so you can't...
Make the victim the perpetrator.
Exactly. I mean, it's carelessness, and somebody asked me the other day, said they ought to be charged. I said, no, but I suspect that if somebody took a gun out of your car and then went and killed somebody with it, and they could show that maybe you were careless and all like that, you probably have a civil lawsuit where that might would travel, and you might could be sued for being reckless with the keeping of your gun. Just like if a child came over your house and you had guns there and some other child was shot accidentally in your house, you know, I'm sure the parents would want to sue you for either.
Lock them up, y'all. That's a Bike Wars Liberty safe plug right now. Lock them up,
yeah.
For sure. Okay, I want to. So Polcat texts us in. We kind of mentioned this towards the end. We got about 8 minutes here, 7 minutes to have a frank discussion. Because Polcat texts in, concealed carry permit is a money grab. Okay, you address it. Let's really talk about it for people because people put that on Facebook and say it all the time. Let's have a real discussion about how this works.
Yeah, you come in, you pay a $20 fee, and
who decided it was $20?
The state legislators back in the
you don't control that.
I don't control that. Okay. Back in the '80s, they set the $20 fee in Mobile County.
I'm not in charge.
It's the local delegations all around the state do it. So it sets that fee, and for that fee, you know, we run a criminal history, a background. We have three dedicated employees that do nothing but issue pistol permits, do the records checks, criminal histories, you know, print out the stuff, process the payments, and all like that. So there's an expense to us, but yeah, we in Mobile County, the gross proceeds would be about $1.2 million a year that we use on all kinds of things, law enforcement purposes only. You know, we use those funds years ago to start the first drug testing in Mobile County public school system. We contributed money to start that. We do the Yellow Dot program. We buy surveillance equipment. We pay for smartphones for the deputies to be able to have airtime and stuff like that. So it goes to good purposes. But for that, you know, the person, they say it's a money grab.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a public safety thing, too. Now, granted, it would impact us, so So quite frankly, some of these people want to do that and not replace our funds. They're defunding the police is what they're doing. You know, that's what they're doing. They've not said, hey, we want to make you whole again, do that. But, you know, we want to do a public safety check on that person, because when you buy a gun at a firearms dealer, they just check to see if you're a convicted felon or if you've been convicted of domestic violence. They don't say
you. So what do you do beyond that?
Well, we look at their whole arrest record. If they've been arrested for three or four times for domestic violence, they'll bring me the report.
But didn't get convicted.
But didn't get convicted, because they'll pay an attorney and they'll appeal it up to circuit court, and they'll finally keep appealing. Then it's a small case in circuit court, and I say, look, we'll plead guilty to disorderly conduct. We just don't want that domestic violence. And you can read the report, the testimony, and know that this person had threatened their wives. We see those cases all the time, and so we may deny those people because the people.
Because it's not something that would have shown up in a NICS check, because they were not found guilty.
They were not found guilty. And so those are the people that we turned down that I mentioned earlier, like 700 years. Some of them will be convicted felons that didn't realize they couldn't have a pistol permit, but others have all these arrest records, drug uses and stuff. So we turn those people down. But imagine just those 700 plus many others just all of a sudden carrying concealed weapons in our grocery stores, in our malls, in the sporting events and stuff like that. The only way you can keep them out is have a posted guard at the gate to stop people from coming in.
I'm going to take a quick call here, too, and it's Ray in Mobile. Ray, we got to make it fast. We have about 5 minutes before the end of the hour. Ray, you're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hey, Sheriff Cochran.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I have a real quick question. I went on the Alabama State website about a week or two ago, and I was reading the text on the bill that has to do with the constitutional carry.
Right.
Is it my understanding that if this passes, that the age to carry a gun concealed will be lowered to 19?
There's a conflict in the existing laws. One says 19, one says 18. Yeah, they will not have that. So you could have a kid that's 18 get out of the juvenile youth center or something when he turns 18 for robbery or something, and then all of a sudden he'd be eligible to legally carry a firearm. Or you have one convicted felon, or two convicted felons, three in a car, and one person without a conviction, and if there's one gun in the car, guess who's going to say it's theirs? And there's nothing police can do. It's a danger to police, and it's a danger to citizens.
Right. Well, I mean, my thing is that it stands now with the permit that's required to conceal carry is not the age 21.
No, it's not. We fought that
changed,
a few years
what,
ago.
It changed.
It's 18 years of age and up. Now the law says a sheriff shall issue if there's not some other reason that we can deny him. An 18-year-old can get a concealed carry permit. And we were opposed to that because you've got a lot of high school seniors, you know, and I wouldn't want my 16 or 17-year-old catching a ride with a high school senior that said, hey, man, that's cool. I got my own gun.
Ray, appreciate the call. I'm going to grab one more if we have time. Brad, you got about 1 minute here. You're on with Sheriff Cochran. Hey, Brad.
Yeah, this is Brad.
Hey, you're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Here's what happened. I couldn't pay my child support, so I ended up not having a driver's license, a bad tag, and no insurance. And I've since been disabled, so I'm trying to get everything worked out. But I want to get a pistol permit, but I just don't know how to go about it, to be honest with you.
Well, you can go online to our website, and it gives you all the procedures. You can download the form, fill it out, and come down to our sheriff's administration office, which is about two blocks south of the cruise terminal downtown. The first time, you have to come in because we have to get your picture, but after that, you can renew it annually online.
I appreciate your call, but I have to jump here because we're about done with the hour. But, I mean, see, all the questions have come in here at the end here, but somebody was asking too, if the concealed carry permit, how does this work with carrying a gun in their car to go to the range? You know, I've talked about that before. If you secure, right?
Yeah, you can secure the gun in your vehicle in a locked compartment, and you can carry it to the range without a concealed carry permit. But it can't be loaded; it has to be locked and secured in a compartment in the vehicle. But I will tell you, I've never ever in my life heard of somebody being arrested for no pistol permit carrying a pistol to the range, shooting range.
Somebody asking here, if I live in Baldwin County, work in Mobile, do I need a concealed carry permit in Mobile or Baldwin or both?
No. You get a concealed carry in the county in which you live in the state of Alabama, and it's good in all 67 counties. It's also good when you travel into Florida, Mississippi, and Georgia.
Yeah, and if you're going to travel, off the top of my head, I forget the dang website. I may or may
Attorney
not
General's
use it.
Website will show
the reciprocity.
Yes.
I may or may
States.
Not use that to make sure I'm driving legally through places. Gosh, so many texts. We'll have to get to these next time. Sheriff, sure. As always, I appreciate you
Thanks
being on.
Thanks for having me, Sean. It's always informative.
All right. If people want to go online,
follow us on Facebook. Follow Team Sheriff. Follow us on Twitter. Download our app. Give us tips on who's wanted, where they're at. We'll go fetch them.
All right. There it is. See you next month.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Coming right back. Continue our Veterans Month interviews. Major General Janet Cobb joins us next.